Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our second hour here on Circles of Change. We're going to go dive in the ocean, the lake, any interesting underwater venue now with John Flanders of the Academy of Scuba. Welcome to the show, John. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I think I should ask, welcome back to the USA. I think you're always off traveling about on adventures, aren't you, this time of year?
Well, this is the busy time of year. We just got back from Roatan down in Honduras, Central America. Had a fantastic time with 52 Phoenix-based divers, Arizona-based divers. So that was fantastic.
Exactly. A great getaway. Let me introduce John. He's the founder and chief operating officer of Academy of Scuba based in Phoenix. He's a PADI master instructor as well as a trainer for multiple agency. John teaches over 40 recreational specialties, public safety diving, technical diving, and also future dive amateurs and professionals. He's authored 3 training manuals and published over 200 articles for various media outlets. A seasoned business person with over 25 years of entrepreneurial successes behind him, John was involved with dozens of small to large publicly traded and private companies on an international scale. He sat in positions of both executive management, board of directors for numerous companies, again, large, small, public, and private. Today, though, his primary focus is on educating divers and non-divers about the marine environment. He believes that scuba diving is a great way to get kids and teens connected to the underwater world and the environment to become really stronger citizens. In over 20 years of diving, personally, John has explored almost every ocean and or sea in the world off the coasts of 6 continents. He's an avid cave and wreck diver and also enjoys horse racing, hiking, kayaking, rock climbing, camping, golfing, skydiving, reading, and writing. So I bet you, how do you handle all the choices that are out there, John?
Well, that's a mouthful there, I think, listening to it. And I'm enjoying life a lot more as a scuba diver than I am a businessman, I can tell you that, although we still run a pretty tight business. It's hard to choose sometimes. And I see that with my divers as well in our community, that it changes when you become a scuba diver. It changes the way you vacation. It changes the way you socialize. It certainly changes your weekends. We have a lot of fun. And you live life once, so why not live it to the fullest? And I think scuba diving definitely adds a component, and in many cases changes a lot of people's lives to help live to the fullest.
Well, I think there's something that happens to us as we get older, because there's nothing more endearing. We have 2 young children, actually. They're now in college and high school. But the days of going to SeaWorld or collecting little whale sculptures or drawing octopuses, I mean, the fascination as a child with the underwater world is so strong. And I find that, obviously, I would suspect a real compelling factor for your, I think, multi-generations of people you touch with this business, that people are either continuing a passion they started as a youth or maybe circling back or rediscovering something.
I call it the Finding Nemo syndrome, actually. If you think back, and being someone who I have kids about the same age you do, and you think back to when Finding Nemo came out, I think it was in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it was amazing because adults, parents, were enjoying that movie more than the kids were. And kids loved it. I mean, who could forget Nemo and Dory and all those wonderful characters they had in there? But it pointed out that there's a whole amazing world, actually an alien world, that most people, in fact, less than 1% of the world's population will ever visit. And you don't have to get on a rocket ship or anything like that. You can literally take a couple weekends, learn how to scuba dive, and go become an adventurer. It's the underwater Indiana Jones adventure that everybody can do from 10 years old to 99 years old.
So tell me, personally then, John, were you one of those children that were always trying to go underwater, or is this something that evolved over time for you?
You know, I actually never wanted to become a scuba diver. And where I grew up in Massachusetts, it was a small town. There wasn't a lot of scuba divers. And it was one summer. I was working for a bricklayer, just carrying bricks. And there was another laborer there, and he mentioned that he wanted to go scuba diving. And I never really even thought about it. And at 14 years old, next thing I know, I'm sitting in a dive shop, taking my summer savings and signing up for scuba diving lessons. And a couple of weeks later, I was a certified scuba diver, and I've been doing it ever since. I was in 1984, and I've been doing it ever since.
Don't you love it? And I think, though, we should remind our listeners, because we've got listeners from all over the world, quite honestly, we're speaking with John. He's based in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, some people would say a dive shop or a dive business that's growing and thriving in the middle of the state of Arizona. What's with that?
Oh, I like to think of it as the all beach, no ocean state. We got plenty of sand, so I guess that's a step in the right direction.
Yep.
Actually, we're really fortunate as Phoenix-based divers. First of all, there are more dive shop locations in Phoenix, Arizona than there is in San Diego, California.
Interesting.
And the dive community here is year-round, and it is really, really active. In fact, we dive up at some of the local lakes and waterways almost every weekend of the year. Can't say that anywhere else. But the real fortunate part of it is we're always going somewhere else. If you live right on the ocean off the coast of Florida, it's in your backyard. You don't have to go anywhere to appreciate this wonderful world. Here in Arizona, we're driving off to California for a couple hours, do a long weekend in California. Jacques Cousteau called the Sea of Cortez the Aquarium of the World. Mm-hmm. That's anywhere from 3 to 8 hours south of us here. We get to go and visit the incredible marine life and from sea lions to whale sharks in the Sea of Cortez. And then, of course, my favorite dive site is Sky Harbor, the Phoenix Airport.
Airport, exactly.
And we go off to places that could be as easy, like Cancun, Mexico, just a 3 or 4 hour flight south of us, or perhaps off to a place as remote like Wakatobi in Southeast Asia. I mean, we have the opportunity to be, the world is a lot smaller than it used to be when I first started diving, and now we can travel all around the world and go some really incredible places. And you'd be amazed at where there's diving. In fact, one of my favorite dive spots is St. Louis, Missouri.
Really?
There's an abandoned lead mine about an hour south of St. Louis.
Okay.
And it's filled up with water, and it's become an underwater lake or dive park.
Sure.
And there's dozens and dozens of trails that divers can go down and not only see, have this amazing architecture of the cave structure itself, or the mine structure itself, but see what's left over from the historical perspective, all these tools and trains and everything else. And there's so much humanity sitting at the bottom of that mine that we get to go and visit that we couldn't do from the surface.
Somehow, though, I have this vision, though, that it's mucky, dirty, the Mississippi River-ish type water, as opposed to, you know, the Sea of Cortez or the beautiful, you know, light and blues of the Caribbean. Not the case,
actually,
huh?
Actually, the Bonterre Mines, which is south of St. Louis, has just unlimited visibility, and it goes as far as your light does. That's one thing you do have to bring into the mines is a light, although they do have a lot of topside lighting, too. It's not all cave and cavern. There's actually a lot of, because it's so big and so vast, there's a lot of open water. In fact, they train beginner divers, people doing their first dives in parts of the mine. And so it's very bright and unbelievable visibility.
Well, you know, I appreciate the fact that people get into scuba diving for a variety of reasons. You know, just the adrenaline rush, the thought you don't have to hold your breath and you can see all that you're going to see and experience. But you also, as I know you've written about, John, that this is part of people's careers, as well as certainly a driver behind a lot of environmental movements, too.
Well, it is, and it's not all adrenaline rush, believe it or not. In fact, that's a very small segment of the scuba world. A lot of it is people who just want to go down and see pretty fish, and that's why we get people from 10 to literally 90 years old that sign up for courses. They're not doing these extreme dives. They're doing 30, 40-foot dives, taking wonderful pictures and seeing amazing things. And we're pretty fortunate because as the industry grows in popularity and it becomes more mainstream, when I was certified, it was basically a bunch of ex-military divers mm-hmm, that became right. instructors, and 90% of the sport was men. Now we're seeing women, kids, active seniors getting into the sport, into the hobby, into the activity, and with that, it's a perfect opportunity for young people, people in their young 20s, mm-hmm. Women, whether they be professional women, housewives, men of all different career tracks that range from electrician and trashmen all the way up to surgeons and lawyers coming in and either making their full-time living. Now, I haven't seen too many lawyers and surgeons jump in and do it full-time, but some people have made career changes, and they come in and do it full-time, or they do it part-time as a way of supplementing their hobby. And it's great because they bring a lot of their other professional assets to this wonderful sport.
And so when you say that they're bringing, for example, they get involved in understanding and knowing the equipment and advising people on the best choice and match it to the body, the physique, the ability to carry, as an example.
Well, and I hate to segment just women, but it's a great place because it's a huge growth part of the industry, especially the professional side of it. Women have different challenges and different obstacles than men do just because of the body types. Mm-hmm. A person who's gone through the experience and the trials and in some cases the tribulations of experimenting with different gear and figuring how to use certain gear with their body type, they're going to be more apt to counsel somebody else at the
exactly.
recreational level, stepping in, saying, I had that problem too. Oh, yeah, I went through that too. Oh, I tried this, and it really worked well for me. And it's nice to get people of different backgrounds, people of different academic backgrounds, people of different physical backgrounds, people of different body shapes, body types, gender types, to come in and be able to act as a role model, a mentor to people of similar qualities and characteristics, and guide them along. It's a mentor-driven sport.
Interesting, yeah, role modeling, giving people confidence and so on. Well, the other piece of it, since it's also, you've complemented the approach to this with adventure, that my goodness, there must be so much fun opportunity for those who really know how to organize events, transport people, plan the dinners around, the actual dives and so on, that it really is a broad and diverse community to pull these off.
Well, and define adventure. That's the real thing. I mean, for somebody, we talk a lot about, at my level, cave diving and wreck diving and doing these amazing things that you would see on maybe like the Discovery Channel or something like that or in a dream somewhere. But, for some people, the adventure starts right in the swimming pool, overcoming a fear, maybe a fear of water, maybe a fear of doing something challenging, maybe a fear of doing something that for their whole life has stepped outside of, they thought was outside of their physical spectrum or their emotional spectrum. And it's great to see, 40 and 50 year olds who've dreamed about going scuba diving since they saw it on Sea Hunt back in the 60s and 70s, and it's been on their bucket list. I love that term, bucket list for so long. And then just one pool dive, and they realize it's an amazing equalizer that they can do this, and they have an adventure of a lifetime, and they've never left a 10-foot swimming pool.
And, in fact, that's where a lot of your dive work begins with people, isn't it? It's right in the safety of a swimming pool.
Absolutely. Just like when you started to learn how to dive, you did it right in the front seat of a driver's ed car, maybe with an extra brake and an extra steering wheel, too. If the driving instructor was smart enough, that's what he did. Anyways, you start off in a parking lot driving around cones or something like that, and that's what the pool is set up to do, to teach you those essential safety skills. And then you become an open water certified or basic certified diver, and then the whole world is open to you at that point. If you just want to be that pretty fish, go down and see a reef at 30-foot diver, that's okay. You want to go out and have an Indiana Jones-style adventure and go dive wrecks and mines and caves or take your diving to the next level, which is where most people want to go, then you can do that too. I've never seen anybody walk into a karate dojo and say, I just want to be a white belt. They want to be a black belt. So a lot of people who get into diving want to become a master diver. But, what is a black belt in diving? Whatever you define it. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's just going and sitting in 60 feet of water. And if that's your black belt, and start working towards it. It's a great time. It's a great adventure, and it's absolutely life-changing.
Well, I think you've also said, too, that your focus on your business really is the community that you're building. And if there's ever anything that people in this day and age are so thirsty for, it's a sense of community, of support, of fun, of learning, and like you said, this equalizer aspect. So I know you do free workshops at your center to bring people together and have social functions and lectures to connect people.
Well, when we started this business in 2008, in fact, it was May 13th, 2008, so it's real close to our anniversary.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. We sat down, and it was literally at my kitchen table, and we made a conscious decision at that point that we were going to focus on the community and that the business would grow out of the success of the community. And we're constantly trying to give back to the community that's treated us so well over the last 6 years. And a big part of that is getting people together. Divers are naturally social. You have to be when you're in a dive environment. We always have buddies with us. We're always on dive boats. And what better way to share photos or talk about dives than having dive socials that everybody can congregate at, all these like-minded individuals with an incredible diversity of background, and they're all talking about the same thing. They're all conversing. People who may not have ever paid attention of the other person in the normal walk of life is sitting there sharing a pizza or having a beverage with them and talking about something that they both have tons of passion for. And they're sitting at the social environment, and they're the ones who are growing the community at that point, not me, not our staff at Academy of Scuba. We're just facilitators, maybe even to a degree guardians of it. But at the end of the day, it's the community that takes over, and we just try to support the community. And because of that attitude, because we've always put the community first, we've always tried to do things to help, benefit, and support the community. Our business has been a natural beneficiary of that. And in today's world where you have e-commerce and online purchasing and at the touch of a button on a phone you can buy a car, our business is prospering because people want to see their community, not my community, not my business, their community prosper. Absolutely.
Well, and we're speaking, and by the way, you heard John say that he started his business on his dining room table. You've gone from not 0 to 60 in 5.9 seconds, but let's say 0 to $1.5 million projected here in 2014. That's quite a successful business that's come as a result of building on community.
Ton of hard work, an amazing dedicated staff of people, community leaders as I like to think of them. And when I tell you dedicated, these folks work 70, 80 hours a week. Their passion drives their work ethic. And of course, you know, the most important part of that is the community members giving back to the business.
Yeah.
And, it's been I'm not going to say it's been, 0 to 60 because it's been a little bumpier road than that.
Sure.
But, it's been a lot of fun. We've met amazing people, a lot of great friends, a lot of great community members. And, it's been a great 5 or 6 years, and we're looking forward to the next 50 or 60 years.
That's great. We've been speaking with John Flanders. His organization is Academy of Scuba, and that indeed is a website, academyofscuba.com. They have operations based in a couple locations up at Phoenix at this point in time, the greater area. So, John, you mentioned in your own bio this idea for you or interest in avid cave diving and also wreck diving. Tell us some story about your own experience in diving around wrecks.
Well, I mean, for me, it actually goes back to my dad, who passed away a couple of years ago, and it's kind of made me rethink how I fell in love with wreck diving. My dad was a retired Navy and loved ships, loved the wrecks, and my earliest memories as a child was walking on to either decommissioned or commissioned ships and being able to walk around with him and visit those things. And I think it's a very fitting honor to be able to go down to wrecks, which are usually artificial reefs of old boats that people have purposefully sunk to create a reef environment for fish to prosper on, and go down there. And you know, when you're on a wreck, you can feel the history.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel the people walking along the passageways and going in and out through the different rooms inside there and on the deck of the boat. You can feel it. And for me, it's a very serene place. It's a great place to go and revisit history. And there's obviously a natural connection with my past and my dad's past. So for me, it's a really cool thing. Not to mention the adventure side of it as well. It's a lot of fun. Takes a lot of special training, specialty equipment, and I kind of like that too, because it not only pushes my students, but it pushes me as an instructor to create the best possible divers I can. I think when you look at the extreme side of diving, whether it be wrecks or caves or mines or something like that, you're creating what I think is the cream of the crop in the sport, people who are taking it very serious and having a great time doing it.
Well, and that's what you say, that this isn't just as the desired outcome. It's also going along that journey with them in the process. What about, you've mentioned, of course, this love of marine life and so on. Have you ever encountered really something you wish you hadn't gotten too close to, whether it be a shark, a ray, or something of that sort underwater?
Well, that's a great question. You know, one of the number one concerns people have when they come into scuba diving is they're afraid of sharks. And actually, as soon as sharks hear the bubbles of a scuba diver, and they kind of take off. So sometimes it's hard to even get close to get a good picture or have any interaction with them. Most marine life animals are very scared of scuba divers, and the only way you'd interact with them close up or in a dangerous situation is if they were acting in a defensive manner. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, I haven't seen any, I haven't been part of any real aggressive, marine animals or wished I hadn't backed into it. Maybe a few divers I can think of. Really, I don't have any ill memories of, maybe I'm blocking it out, but I don't have any ill memories of any marine life that I wish I hadn't seen. I have plenty that I'm glad I have seen, everything from great white sharks to sunfish, those big mola molas, and sea turtles. I love sea turtles. Going down and seeing sea turtles is a big part of why I love to dive on the reefs.
Yeah, and there's nothing like, of course, those of us that have been blessed with the chance to go and visit aquariums at different locations, but to know that you could be swimming side by side with those creatures, it must really be enthralling.
You know, I was in Utila down in, again, Central America. It's one of the Bay Islands of Honduras last year. And I have a picture it was a hawksbill turtle that I was swimming next to. And it's actually a video for about 2 or 3 minutes. And, as I was just kind of moving alongside the turtle, and it was kind of swimming along as my dive buddy, it sticks out in my mind as a great turtle interaction. And it was so cool to be able to enjoy that dive with that turtle. It was a lot of fun and very peaceful.
That's great. And what a sense of community, what you said. John, thank you so very much. Again, we've been speaking with John Flanders, www.academyofscuba.com, up in here in Arizona. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it. Going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.